heard a quote this morning. It says, doubt grows in darkness. Doubt grows in darkness. You know, and when people are in the dark in their faith and they want to stay there, they just continue to, their doubt just continues to grow. And they never have a way of figuring out where the light is. So I can need to figure out where the switch is. So, well, anyhow, the lesson starts with speaking about Psalm 57. And Psalm 57 is about David, King David, and he is fleeing from Saul. And what's going on is, in the lesson, where Paul is writing to the church at Thessalonians, and Thessalonica, and he is encouraging them to stand strong in their faith because of the persecution and the problems that they are facing. And he, well, it doesn't say that he, that Paul alludes to this psalm, but it is a psalm that speaks to us when David says, "Hence, have mercy on me, O God, have mercy on me, for in my soul in you my soul takes refuge. I will take refuge in the shadow of your wings until the disaster has passed." And so whenever we are reading the Psalms and we see how that the psalmist and the experiences that they went through, how that, you know, they cried out to God, or they called out to God, and they wrote about, you know, all the things. And one of the verses, verse 4, says, "My soul is among the lions." And it can be literally or figuratively, because he was in the cave. And, of course, at that time, there were lions in that part of the country. So, you know, whether he was afraid of the lions being in the cave or not, but he's kind of alluding to what we would refer to as Daniel in the lion's den. But so David felt that he was in danger. And then he, verse 7 says, "My heart is steadfast, O God, my heart is steadfast." So even though he feels like he's in the den where the lions are, his heart is still steadfast, and he is secure in what God is going to do through him. So centuries later, Paul writes to the Thessalonians, and he tells them that they were living among the lions, that the lions among opponents of Jesus who were severely persecuting them. So the lions were people at this time, and how that these people were persecuting the early church, and especially the people in Thessalonica. So he continues to, how could they remain steadfast to continue fully trusting in the truth of God's word? That's 1 Thessalonians 2:13. So, doubt grows in the darkness. Paul is he's writing to them to get them to stand firm in the word, to stand firm in what they've already been taught. So, whenever, you know, the scripture says, "Thy word is a light unto my path, a light, you know, unto my feet." Well, doubt doesn't grow where there's light. So whatever we're going through, we don't allow ourselves to stay in the dark. We allow the Word of God to shine upon our life, and that's whenever we, you know, we quote the scriptures, and whenever we believe, you know, the promise that God has put in our own heart about situations that God is going to take care of them. And then he goes on to let the people at Thessalonica know that persecution is not unusual, that people suffering for their faith is very common, and Paul should know that because he was the one doing the persecution at one point. And so, and they were to recognize that it's not unusual, but then they were to also understand that there is power in prayer, not only to protect them and cover them, but to protect them from their enemy and keep the enemy at bay. So there's all these different things that go on in our relationship and in our faith. Sometimes the enemy is kept at bay, and sometimes we are kept in the persecution, or when the enemy is surrounding us, that we are kept there knowing that we are safe in God's hands, such as, you know, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They're thrown into the fiery furnace. God didn't keep them from the furnace, but He kept them in the furnace. So the power of prayer and our relationship with God can work many different ways in our life. And I was thinking how that the Holy Spirit prepares us. You know, God knows the future, all right? God doesn't see into the future. God has all knowledge. So God's knowledge of the past, present, and future is the same. He knows it all. So when the scripture talks about that God and his foreknowledge means that God knows what is in the future in our life and in our world. Now, but he doesn't take away our ability to choose. He just knows what we're going to do. So our challenge is to allow the light of God's word to shine upon our life so that we can make the choices that God is important, according to God's word in our hearts and minds, to prepare us and take us through the trials of the future. So we have this this perfect scenario that no matter what happens, God says, I got this for you. And that whether we live or die, we belong to God, so we're safe in this scenario. So now, why not believe God for the best? Why not look for a better outcome? You know, not for the mediocre or just getting by, but for how that God would want to bless us. And see, the challenge is that God would bless us not just for our sake, but for the sake of God's kingdom, that others would know of it and be blessed. So sometimes we have the misconception that it's all about me and, you know, I'm not that important and God, if he doesn't for me, you know, I can live. It doesn't matter to me that much whether I get this or don't. But it isn't necessarily that what God wants to do in your life is for you, but it's also for the people around you. It's also for people to see God's hand working in your life and understand that God is at work in your life, because you're going to give glory to God for what is being done and what is accomplished. That's why we have a testimony. Because there has to be a test, and then there's an imony. Oh, God. So. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know, maybe all of you didn't hear it. Brian, maybe he's listening. Hi, Brian. he's out in Valparaiso, Indiana, but he called yesterday, and he was a young man here in church. And he was here. He was a young man who had a drug problem. He was drugged to church every Sunday by his mother and his grandfather, and you know, he was drugged to church all the time, and he was calling me yesterday. He's now, how old, Brian? You remember Brian? Brian Harker. You know, is he your age, younger, older? Bobby's age. He's almost as old as you are, right? You're not that. You're young. See. Okay, so he's 40, late 40s. He called me yesterday and talked about how that he has come back to know Christ, and I told Cliff that he said that he's been wanting to hear my sermons, and he went online and he found them on YouTube, and he's been listening to my sermons all day yesterday. And I said, must be the Spirit to do that. So, but he wants to, and he's been looking for a church that has the same feeling as he had here when he was growing up. Because he said most places don't have that same atmosphere. You know, and he was going on and remembering some of the things. And Rhonda read it on his blog. I didn't get a chance to read it. But anyhow, he remembered the time I called on him. He was sleeping, you know, and I said, Brian! And he woke up and I said, who was Noah's wife's, what's the name of Noah's wife? And he goes, Mrs. Noah. I don't remember that, but he does. So anyhow, but you know, so what goes on in our life is not always just about us, but it's further than us. You know, it's bigger than us. We often see things as it relates to our life and to our immediate surroundings, but our immediate surroundings are not about us. You know, it's bigger than us. You know, and the Thessalonians, what was going on in that city was bigger than them. Now, they didn't know it was bigger than them, but it's bigger than them, and it's been affecting the church for thousands of years, and it affects us. So what was going on in that church and the persecution in that city still affects us. So that's why we can't allow the focus just to be on this is me and mine and my little circle and the little things that go on here and there. But it's more than that. It's much greater than that. What if there are no boundaries? What if there are no boundaries? God created you without boundaries. And that everything that you have is not only for you, but it's without boundaries. You don't know where it's going. You don't know how far it's going to reach. You don't know the effect it's going to have. It's without boundaries. So it is, yes, it affects me, but yet it's without boundaries. How far out is it going to go? I don't know. See? So, amen. Thank you, preacher. That was good stuff, Pastor. So let's encourage yourself in the Lord. Yes, Pastor, that was great. Yeah. So, what else? So, he goes on that they should trust God's word, understand that persecution by unbelievers is not unusual. People who don't know God, persecuting a Christian, you know, it's fair game, I guess they think so. Believe in and depend upon the power of prayer and grow together in a strong, loving community of Christ. And it goes on later on, talk about faith and love. Notice that whenever... Well, and it's important. All the workings of the Holy Spirit are important. But it has to have a foundation, and the foundation is faith and love. If there isn't love, the gifts don't operate correctly because they're selfish. Well, we're doing it for God, but in reality, you know, it doesn't work that way because division and all that stuff. But God wants us to have love as our foundation, and then we find the workings of the Spirit working in our life. Okay, First Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. Paul says, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God." Now, what's important about this is, number one, Paul is writing and saying, and he goes over this a number of times, I don't cease to be thankful for you. Okay? I don't stop saying thank you to God for your lives. So that's kind of be reflective of this, that we need to be thankful for the people around us that are involved with us and follow believers and people that visit and whatever. Being thankful for the people, Paul says, thankful to the people without ceasing. And ye received the word of God as the word of God. Now, the lesson goes on to talk about how that the people in Thessalonica, when Paul spoke to them the scriptures and spoke to them the truth about Jesus Christ, they believed that it was the word of God, okay? But there were many who were trying to discredit Paul and discredit his ministry, and they, and even today, these people, they seek to place the divine inspiration of the scriptures on a level of genius. You know, the guys were, these people who wrote this book, these books were just absolute genius. So they were, you know, they put the book in that category. Or that they were inspired only in the sense that Homer and Shakespeare and Faulkner, those guys were inspired. And then others teach that only parts of the Bible are divinely inspired. And there's a number of denominations that, you know, it's like one guy said, what you guys should do, and he was talking to the ones who, this really isn't for today. He said, you get one of them pins and whatever, and you need to cut out all those things that don't belong to today's church. See how much you have left. Because they don't believe that it's for today. They don't believe that the working of the Holy Spirit is for today. They don't disagree with Pentecost. Well, that was for then. But those things are all done away. There's no thing like that going on today. This Pentecost stuff and thing, charismatic, what they used to call it, or moving of the Spirit. There's none of that today, That's all of the devil. It's like, okay, you need to cut that out of the Bible. But you see, when people try to say only parts of the Bible, only parts of the Bible are for today, and that's not true. The whole Bible, it's all the inspiration of God, and it's all the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is, Jesus is the Word made flesh and dwelt among us. So the Word that is written, the written Word, is the Word made flesh, Jesus. And this is telling us about His body, the body of Christ, which we are. And His Holy Spirit then abides within us. And when His Spirit abides within us, the truth is there. And the truth doesn't hide in darkness. And doubt is not part of darkness. So Timothy, 2 Timothy says that all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So it's about furnishing us, furnishing your house, furnishing us with all the things that are necessary to perform or to do, or to live the good works of Jesus Christ. So, verse 14. For ye, brethren, became followers of the churches of God, which in Judea are in Christ Jesus. For ye also suffer like things of your own countrymen. So Paul is writing, and he's reminding them, you guys are like the church in Judea. Now, this is where Paul knows firsthand about the churches in Judea, because he was the one that was persecuting them. He was the one throwing them in jail, separating them from their families, having them whipped and killed even. So you, now he's saying that you people in Thessalonica are a lot like the ones in Judea, and you are suffering at the hands of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews. So the ones in Judea were suffering under the Jews. And the people in Thessalonica, they were suffering at the hands of the unbelievers, who both killeth the Lord Jesus. And he's talking about the Jews, how that, and this is where, I don't know if it was years ago, but there was a time in which especially the news, some people in the news media, they tried to present Christians as being opposed to Judaism and hating Jerusalem and hating the Jews because the Jews were responsible for killing Jesus. So they tried to put this out there that Christians don't like Jews because the Jews were responsible for killing their Savior. Okay, but it's not true. They were responsible for fulfilling the word of God, but they are still God's chosen people, and God, we are to pray for the peace of Jerusalem, and that we are to, do our best to make sure that the Jewish people are secure in their homeland, because God blesses the people who are, taking care of His people, meaning Christians and the Jewish people. That's a different sermon, but anyhow. So this is, I think, where even some years ago, some denominations or individuals, were preaching against this, preaching against Judaism. And they killed the Lord Jesus and their own prophets, and they have persecuted us. And they please not God. So he's letting the Thessalonians know that the Jewish people who are persecuting the church, they are not pleasing to God, and they are contrary to all men. So, meaning that in the Old Testament, and the way of thinking was that, and it was rightfully so, that God had declared that the Jewish people were his chosen people, and that they were ones that he had set aside through which the Messiah would come. You know, so they were this special group of individuals, but they took it to the point that anybody else, Gentiles, okay, non-Jewish people, they didn't want them in their group. They didn't want these people being subject to the message of God because it was for them only. Well, that's whenever, you know, to a good religious Jewish individual back in before the time and in the time of Christ, Gentiles were good for the fuels of the fire of hell. That's what they were good for. Yeah, that's all that they were good for. Well, but forbidding us, Paul says, verse 16, forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles that they might be saved. They didn't want them to be saved. To fill up their sins alway, for the wrath is come upon them to the utmost. So because of their blindedness, because of their inability to see beyond themselves, they were filling up their sins and the wrath that was going to come upon them for such foolishness. So there's wrath coming upon them because they couldn't see beyond themselves. And I think of that also for us. If we look at the blessing of God upon our life and we see it only for ourselves, and we have borders around it and boundaries around it, well, it can't go any further than just me or here or there, then we are forbidding God's blessing to pour out into other people. I liked one guy said, he said when he goes to a motel or a hotel and he's staying there, he said he just believes that the presence of God just goes off the bed and under the floor, under the door and down the hallway and blesses everybody on the floor. So there are no boundaries. So in the same way with ourselves, our friends, our families, the people we know, they're all blessed by us. Amen. Thank you very much. All right, verse 17. Oop, I sank down again. But we, brethren, being taken from you a short time in presence, Paul was taken from them. He wasn't able to stay in Thessalonica because of the persecution that was against him. He was forced to leave ahead of time before he wanted to, and so he's short time present. And he says, "Endeavor the more abundantly to see your face with great desire," meaning that he wanted to get back to Thessalonica. He wanted to come and see them. "Wherefore we would have come to you, even I, Paul, once again, but Satan hindered us." Now, this is one of those, we don't know how Paul was hindered, but we know he couldn't get there. And the idea of hindered has the understanding of a roadblock. So Paul was even subject to wanting certain things to happen. He gets hindered for it, you know. Like, I want this to stay up, but I keep getting hindered by the sinking feeling that I have inside of me. Pastor gets shorter every day. Yeah, that's it. I'm decreasing so God can increase, you know. So pretty soon I won't be able to read this. My nose will be on it. So Satan has hindered us. And how he does that, sometimes we don't know, but he does. So Paul wanted to go back to Thessalonica. He wanted to be there, but, you know, he couldn't get there. And what he's saying is, all the plans I've made to get there, something happens that I can't. Now, for Paul to say that, he's kind of, He's been beaten with rods and stoned and dragged out of the city for dead, lowered out of the back of the walls of a city in the basket, you know. So he's in peril in the country, in peril in the city, in peril. Wherever he goes, people are always after him for some reason or another. So you would think that he would be able to, push through whatever Satan is putting up there. But Paul said that Satan is hindered and I just can't get there. So for what is our hope or our joy? What is our crown of rejoicing? Are not even in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? So he's saying that, number one, that his joy is in how that Christ has taken care of them, and that the most important thing is when Jesus Christ returns, we're all going to be there at his coming. I can't come to see you, and don't be upset with the persecution. That's normal, but the most important thing is when Jesus Christ returns, we're all going to be together at his coming. Amen. Verse 1 of chapter 3. Wherefore, when we could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone, and sent Timotheus, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you. So Paul says, I can't get there, but I'm sending Timothy. And I didn't read if Timothy was the one who took this letter to the Thessalonians or not. I didn't read that part. But so it might have, I'm guessing, I think maybe Timothy did deliver the letter. So Timothy, the letter is delivered, and Timothy has come, and he's there to, and Paul outlines who he is. He is my He called Timothy a brother. He called him a minister of God and a fellow laborer in the gospel of Jesus Christ. So he puts these titles on Timothy so that the people say, well, we were wanting Paul to come and talk to us, not you, Timothy. We were hoping somebody else would be there today, Pastor, but it's you. So it's one of those things, Yeah, we were expecting another speaker, but, they never said that about you. Don't think that way. I forbid it. But anyhow, Paul then is telling them, his desire to be there. He prays for them continually, and he is sending Timothy to, and he gives them all these credentials that this is who he is, and I want you to listen to him and what he has to say. That no man should be moved by these afflictions. So he doesn't want, Paul saying, I don't want you moved by all the difficulties. See, number one, difficulties are not a problem. So don't get your eyes off of Christ and on the difficulties. Keep your eyes on Christ, and don't be moved by the afflictions. Don't be moved by the things that are going wrong and by the persecution of the Jews and the persecution of the Gentiles and those who are against the church. Remember, you have received the Word of God as the Word of God. The Word of God is the foundation upon which you stand. So they had received that. So whenever we stand upon the rock, Jesus Christ, it's unmovable, it's steady, it's secure. So when we stand upon the Word, then the persecution and the problems are not a big deal. For yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. You and I, Paul says, we are appointed to this position of serving Jesus. So, remember that? We are appointed to this position. You are appointed to the position you are in. And see, going back to the idea that the blessings that God has given you, those blessings are appointed to you, not for you to build a wall about them, but for you to take down the walls so that the appointed blessing that God has for you can affect not only your life, but the lives of the people around you. See, it's a divine appointment. Not just me and mine and build bigger barns. So what you got for you and for your family and to share it with others. So don't be distraught. Don't be disturbed by the trials that come. Verse 4. For verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass, and we know. So Paul's telling them, hey, I told you this at the very beginning. As soon as you accepted the word of God as the word of God, tribulation and trials are going to come. They're going to be part of who you are. One of the things in the commentary talks about, there are over, according to this one census by an organization known as the Open Doors, there are 215 million Christians suffering extreme levels of persecution. That's one in every 12 in the world are suffering extreme persecution, such as verbal abuse, imprisonment, kidnapping, bribes, deportations, destruction of property, fines, torture, and murder. So, you know, we don't have that around us, but other believers in other parts of the world, especially in the Arab world or even in Europe, where the Muslims and, you know, they do not allow, they do not allow Christianity. But, and even now China has shut off Christianity, you know, outlawed it as a religion. You no longer are allowed to have that religion. So the church will, you know, the church that is there will, if not already, will begin to suffer severe persecution. So, you know, I remember a missionary that was in China, the story of the missionary in China, that this was before communism, or when communism was, you know, taking over, that they went and they took the missionary and his wife, and they buried her alive. And that they would stop burying her and killing her if he would denounce his faith. And they buried her alive. And, you know, things like that are, it happens. And for us, we don't even, you know, we would think, well, if those are people who go to church and they are found out. Now, these people that just call themselves Christian, you know. They're not Muslim. They call themselves Christians, and then they suffer severe persecution. So we need to pray for them, because our world is not just what God has blessed us with. It goes out from us to the world around us. Yeah, and there, you know, it's, we just need to be aware that there are people who are suffering for the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we need to know and be thankful to God for who we are. Pray for our leaders, you know, pray for the people in charge over us, Bible says that, and that we are to pray for those missionaries, and pray for those people, those individuals who are in these places of you know, persecution. Verse 5 says, "For this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith." So I couldn't stand it any longer, Paul says. I couldn't stand it any longer whether you guys were doing okay or not. So I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter have tempted you and our labor be in vain. He said, I didn't want our labor to be in vain, because I knew you believed the word of God as the word of God, but there's this, all this persecution going on. I couldn't stand it any longer to know whether you still were believing or not. But now when Timothy came from you to unto us, so Timothy's already been there and back, and brought us good tidings of your faith and charity, and that we have good remembrance of us always, desiring greatly to see us, as we also to see you. He was happy. They wanted to see him too. Yeah, they wanted to see Paul also, just as much as Paul wanted to see them. Therefore, brethren, we are comforted over you in all our affliction and distress by your faith. Your faith is having an effect upon our faith. Our faith is having an effect upon their faith. So praying for people, your faith is having an effect upon their faith. See, it works that way. And then verse 9, for what thanks can we render to God again for you? For all the joy wherewith we joy for your sakes before our God, night and day pray exceedingly that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. Paul's continuing to want to be with them to build up their faith, to continue to encourage them in the Lord, and that whatever it take to keep them strong in their difficulties, he was wanting to be there. Now, God himself and our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way to you. So praying, still praying that we get to see you and that we come and be with you. And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you. Notice that whenever, praying for your persecutors, Jesus, prayed for those individuals who were killing him. Father, forgive them, for they don't really know what they're doing. And so Paul is telling them to make, I pray, and the Lord make you to increase so that your whole life is going to continue to increase and abound in love one toward another. Love each other in your faith and in Christ, and that your love would be evident to all men. Sometimes we get caught up with those people we don't like very much. I don't know if we don't love them anymore, but we sure don't want them. No. So anyhow, we want to abound in love towards one another and towards those who are seemingly against us, to the end he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God. So that we are in this position of loving so that we don't become blameless, blameable, and we're not blaming people for the wrong they do. We thank God for his will and his ability to take us through, above, around, stop, or, whatever it is. Our focus is always on Christ, not on the things that are going wrong. So that you unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. We're all going to be together in this, in heaven with Christ. So don't get upset. Don't be discouraged. In faith, believe. Stay strong in the word of God that you have received as the word of God, and be firm in your faith. Pray not only... Paul not only prayed that these believers would enjoy an increase in love, but also that they would be strengthened in holiness. And the test of holiness will come whenever we stand before Christ. Be holy, for I am holy. And the holiness is separation from evil, being close to God. Amen. So, thoughts? Any thoughts? Yeah, if Jesus died that, for the sins of the world, and the sins of the world, some people still carry their own sin. And what separates us from God? Sin. So all liars have their place in hell. So lying can separate us from God just as much as murder can separate us from God. And sometimes murdering people in our hearts is worse, you know, not worse than, but equivalent to, if you've done it in your heart, you've done it literally. You just haven't been able to do it physically. So God wants us to have those things out of our life. And, you know, he died for Hitler's sin just as much as he died for our sin, but Hitler didn't repent. Not that we know of. And we won't go there. But God, you know, Judas could have repented, but he didn't. You know, you see, that's the thing about evil. Evil blinds the people, blinds the eyes of individuals, because doubt grows in darkness. And their doubt of who they are and their purpose continues to evolve. You imagine how that Judas was with Jesus for 3 years, and he couldn't see beyond his own doubts that he was the Son of God. It didn't matter what Jesus did. He just couldn't get beyond his schemes and his, you know, need to put his hand in the pot and take the money. And, you know, he was just a schemer. And all during this whole time, it's like he had Jesus with him, but never understood, never tried to understand who Christ was. And some people are like that. And they will pay for it. And Judas paid for it. So, but we don't want that. Jesus prayed for Judas. You know, I'm sure he counseled him, you know, privately. But Judas was still greedy. And, you know, his greed always got the best of him. So, yep, God died. He loves every person. Just some people say, no thanks. Don't want that. Amen. Anything else? Any other questions, thoughts? Next week is holiness and hope. So we'll talk about what that holiness is. And it's in Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians 4. So we'll talk about that next week. Father, we thank you for your word, that we would be strengthened in our faith, and that your word, O God, is a light to our path, and that our faith grows in the light. And so we pray, Lord, for the light of the word to shine upon our lives, that we may see you more clearly and understand your purpose for us more completely, and that, Lord, that we may share your blessings without boundaries to those around us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.